I definitely had to step outside and go for a walk. I'm gonna chill on the video for a second. I'm gonna reintroduce myself to my own podcast. And I think the podcast, I'm just using it to keep my thoughts aligned. I mean, I think because I didn't continue, you know, I wasn't consistent with it. I allowed the little bit of momentum that I built up go away. So I guess it's not all bad because, I mean, I still have a platform to record myself, listen back to my thoughts, and it goes to the streaming platform. So I don't think it's all bad. But I think since it's like that, it allows me to just record the podcast however I wanted to. Like how when I first got introduced to podcasting, there was no expectations. I didn't expect myself to make covers or make sure the audio was a certain way or use music. I would just walk, and I was so intrigued by the app itself because it was like, you know, having the record, just like when iPods first came out and they had the ability to record. You know, I was so used to walking around with a recorder in my pocket since I've been younger. Before, I used to have the tape recorders and, you know, the big joints, then the four track joints that had the tape in it. And then it went to digital recorders, the four track, you know, then the little handheld digital recorders, then the recorder on the pin, then, you know, then these, I had the iPod. I don't remember the iPod having a recorder on it. But, you know, they had the little voice memo thing. So I always looked at it when I learned about Anchor.fm, when I first learned about it, that was through an article or a blog that I think Gary V had on Medium. And, I don't know. It was pretty, I was like, oh man, this is like a voice memo on steroids. Cause it was, you know, you can get voicemails from your friends. You could get people on the call with you. You know, I mean, it evolved to what it is now, which is cool. But I think what I'm saying with it evolving and my interest in just recording and audio in general, I think I got beside myself and I gave myself too much, and therefore I couldn't be consistent in all areas. Like, I think the reason why the voiceover thing took off, it wasn't because I'm just great at voiceover. I mean, I'm good in the recording studio, but I was consistent with that one thing for a while. And I noticed that because even when vocals were building up, I kind of got, I don't want to say inconsistent, but I kind of took it down because I was frustrated by not getting the proper credits. And I should have just let it build. Because in voiceover, I don't always get credited, but I know my work, I find my work, I add it to my portfolio. So, you know, I started treating the vocal thing like that because what happened, I let the vocal thing kind of, I let the vocal thing kind of simmer down. And I shouldn't have. So, and I think that the reason, not only is it not getting the credit, but it was like everything becomes a lot. You know, when you get this, like, an artist finds his money in different aspects. Sometimes a big lump will come from one source, but more than likely, you're going to need several sources to keep you up, post it up. Because things ebb and flow, man. They go up and they go down. And right now, for a while, it's been pretty down, I'm gonna say, which forces me to take stock in what I got, because I kind of was like living off one or two sources, mainly one, and then slightly off of a second source, and so I could turn my nose up at different things that I was working on, or things like podcasting, where I was like, I had to, you know, it made pennies. So I was like, you know, I'm investing a lot of time, so let me move away from it. But I was building a little bit of an audience. And had I kept sticking with it, I would have cultivated another source. So the thing is to try to figure out a balance of delivering a high quality and being authentic in whatever realm you're stepping into. And I mean authentic, when I'm talking about being authentic, knowing what you're getting into. Like, because if you don't know what you're getting into and knowing how you can bring real value to it, you're basically wasting your time. If you're looking just to jump into something for a quick flip, I mean, it's such a, I guess it's cool when you're coming up and you're trying to make your money stretch. But at some point, what is the long-term investment plan? What do you really, how's it really going to pay out? Right? And if you could see that, time is going to go by either way. So either you invested the time and effort into what you're thinking of or you're not. So, and I just think about when podcasting first came out, or when I first heard about it, it was the website GarageBand. You're talking about 2002, 2003, I think maybe in 2004, maybe. No, I don't think 2004 is too early. 2003, 2002. But to see it evolve 20 years later, and I loved it then, I just didn't understand it then. And like I said, it's like, as an artist, it's like, okay, I could see how the podcasting, especially on the recording side, I can see how the podcasting can be a nice addition to your main ingredient. But it was always a matter of how do you figure it out that it's a good way for you to express yourself and it's not taking away too much from what you're supposed to be doing, which is creating the works. But I guess if you do it the right way, it does become another works. Unless you go the route of interviews, then you become more like a journalist. And I think that was one of the things that kind of deterred me too from keeping the momentum going, because I went from starting out podcasting, walking and recording like I am now, right? And then I started interviewing people. And that was just because I was having so much fun and I had so many interesting conversations with people I knew that weren't celebrities, just people doing amazing things. So I just took it upon myself. I was like, yo, if they were interested, to talk to them, because a lot of people have interesting things going on and they really weren't quite sure how to get it out. Or some of them did know how to get it out and they were just looking for some additional, I guess, not support, but like outlets. So I was having fun with that, but it became work and it took me away from what I was really trying to do. And that was make records, make songs, you know? So I had to put it down, but when I put it down, I lost momentum, because now when I put something out, there's zero listeners. And hey, you know, it's not like I had a whole bunch of listeners before, but I had some. But I'm not giving anybody a reason to listen, because I ain't sticking around. I mean, sticking around is half the battle. Sticking around is half the battle. I just think about where my voiceover business would be if I did voiceovers and I built the momentum the first year, and I do almost 1,000 jobs, but then the next year I just disappear. I wouldn't be where I'm at today. And I disappeared because maybe it got down or I got a job offer, so I'm just going to do it on the side. But when I went in with voiceover, I went in full time. So even when the work was getting slow, I would be figuring out how to put myself back on the market and get the work back up, or how to bring the value up or train within that realm to get myself prepared. I didn't dibble dabble in other shit because I was trying to get that thing to work. And that seems to be the formula for everything. You can brag and boast of how you got 20 different things going on. But unless those 20 things have been treated with love, care, and attention, and you really, it's like 20 babies, right? Each one of them is your baby. You got to go through the process of all of them. You still got to take 9 months. I mean, some might come out earlier than the other ones, but you still got to teach them how to walk, how to read, write, eat. So whether you have one child or three or 20, then that's like with songs, that's like your businesses, you know, or your hustles, whatever you want to, whatever you treat them as, or whatever you identify them as. Either way, they all need care. Because if not, you're going to be losing bread. And then what's the point? Losing bread or losing time. So, I'm talking a lot, huh? But I'm just clearing my thoughts and recording. Like I said, I'm going back to regular. I'm going back to regular. To the beginning. Like it was all brand new. But this time I have a choice on what I can do. and I can bug out with it. Like, I like walking. I love walking, actually. And I love recording. So why not put the two together? And then the fact I could just publish straight out to all these platforms. And then the fact that, hey, if I build a momentum again, sponsorships will come. But at the worst, I have my recorded thing and it's there. It's documented. And there it is. You know, I can always refer back, and then somebody could refer back and like, yo. So. Hello. So that's all. And I guess everything don't need video. Because could you imagine me walking down the street right now holding the camera up? And I think that's what I loved about audio. Now, don't get me wrong. We're definitely in the video age. So I noticed how the video moves a lot faster. But it's no different than we had a song. Songs would move, you know, with music videos. And I think it's just giving an overall experience. But everything really moves when you can get to the physical experience. You know what I'm saying? When you're seeing people face to face. And that's really where we're trying to be. And I, you know, that's how I try to speed up the process so we can get to that part. The on-location part, you know? Or you're playing in front of folks. You know, saying you're interacting with folks. That always speeds the... I think that speeds the process up the most. Because you're able to have a lasting impact. Like, online is cool. But being in front of people, you know, giving dap or talking, seeing emotion expressions, posture, just interacting with folks. Those build those bonds. And I can say people that I met online that I got to meet in person, whether through a show or just deciding to link up, you know, have we became friends, we became, you know, good friends, and it has stand the test of time. So it's like, yeah, online, and you can get your bread online. But depending on how you're trying to move as an artist, that wants to put the stuff out there online is cool. But I guess I'm more of a performance artist than anything else. Like, I love the performance part. And being about the performance part has allowed me to translate all these things into my life when it comes to the recording part and the writing part, because you're writing out your performance and the, you know, and the engineering part and all that stuff like that. I think being a into the performance part, because you bring that into the studio, but you just have to encapsulate it. But I'm dying to perform. You know, and I guess it doesn't matter if it's zero or a million. You know, you're gonna perform, you just perform. So that's what I'm doing now. And I'm getting my performance tight. But I'm incorporating it in my day-to-day. So all the skills to make a great performance, I'm incorporating it in things that I offer to customers. And I'm practicing these things, because why not get paid to practice? And why not see what works, what people will pay for? And as I figure out what people will pay for, I could put it all together. Because it's still me, but I'm listening. I'm listening to the people that matter. Because over the course of my time, before everything became full-time, the reason why it wasn't full-time, because the people that matter, that didn't really matter, well, everybody it matters, but I guess their opinion doesn't matter in your grand scheme of things. I feel like the opinions of the people that matter when you're building your career is the people that are actually paying. The people that just got something to say or just want to give you a pat on the back and props, that shit is cool too, but the dollars speak, right? And I'm not saying you're holding yourself out for money. I'm saying it's like, yo, somebody saying, yo, that was a good job when you come off stage. And somebody saying that was a good job and buying whatever you got out there because they believe in your cause, whether it's a shirt or they just like, yo, I see your effort. And they throw you a bone, they throw you a 20, whatever the case may be. Those are the people that, you know, and again, opinions, it's with a grain of salt too. Because just because somebody throwing you some money and they're, oh, well, next time you should do this and that, like, you know, but at least, you know, you're paying attention. Well, I guess at the same time, pay attention to all info, you know? Again, don't take anything I'm saying to heart. I'm clearing my thoughts, right? And I'm just allowing you to share with me. So that's if you're listening, but I don't think nobody's listening. I'm the only one listening. I'm the biggest fan of me. So I don't think nobody's listening. So, but yeah, you should always be practicing the things that you want to do. I practice them every single day. Then I try to turn them into cash so then I can continue to get paid to practice. That's what seems to be the formula that has worked up until now. So, all right, that's it. I think I had to make a part two to my walk because it just dawned on me. I just use Google Calendar, you know, to automate or to at least make a regimen, a schedule for me to stick to, like when I wake up, as far as exercising, songwriting, recording, producing, editing, piano lessons, finger drumming, and Spanish lessons. And I know that sounds like a lot, and I noticed that it is a lot, but just visualizing the schedule show me that I can't do everything every day, but some things I can do all day, like practice Spanish, or like rehearsing I can save it for a night, or like my social media stuff, the content creation, as well as the publishing distribution part of it. I could save that for the weekend and schedule it out during the week. And being that I did that for my everyday regimen, I was just thinking to myself, because I've been looking over there at Facebook scheduling thing, and I know a lot of agencies probably already use this, but you know, as an individual, I don't know why. You know, I've tried it a couple times where I went on the back end for their publishing tools and used the, I'm walking, so that's the truck. But I used where it has, when you use their publishing calendar, it has, I guess, your optimal times. I guess I posted enough content where it actually showed the optimal times for me to post. But it's only like 3 days a week. But I'm like, yo, I post enough content and I can repurpose that content or put it on a cycle and schedule throughout the week so I can enjoy my walks more, because sometimes I catch myself like making content while I'm doing something else. Or like when I'm supposed to be sitting down chilling with my wife watching TV, I'll be on my phone and different shit like that, trying to edit something or do a caption. And in order to get more of my time back and to be more present in what I'm doing, like, okay, now I'm starting to understand as an artist the obligation that today's artist has to do on social media. So it's like, all right, since you have this obligation to create content, which is cool because it's not as labor intense, or it could be as labor intense as making a song. But I guess content is also like the new song, because there's a lot of different things that you could do to make bread off it, just like you do with your songs, and you know, to exploit your copyright, basically. So that being said, the more songs you got out, the more content, you know, more opportunities you have to make bread and continue making a living and blah, 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 blah. So it's like, how do you do that and not drive yourself crazy, right? Because you still need to balance it out with the rest of your life, and it's very demanding. So it's like, yo, utilize that scheduling. Utilize the scheduling, you know? That scheduling tool is kind of ill. And just like in distribution, I just like dropped a whole bunch of under the Fly Breaks moniker just for instrumentals. And instrumentals I got, I dropped a lot through distribution, and they basically got a scheduler. So I was able to drop a whole bunch of beats for weeks in advance. And, you know, you could do it. I had some actual singles through DistroKid. I had did some actual singles where it was once every, 3 months? And I was able to schedule 2 years out. And then it made a hard stop after 2 years. And that was only a little bit of content. Now imagine I did three songs. Okay, every 4 months I did. Because I did every 4 months a song. So I was doing three songs a year. And I was like, until I can build up enough songs where I can drop every day. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll build up to 12 once a month. But it looks like things are starting to move up a little bit faster. So we're going to find out. But I mean, the goal is really, how do you get to drop 10 songs a day? And you can use that same, AKA 10 pieces of content. So I realized I came in with the 10 songs a day, but then it's like, I can make 10 pieces of content. And somebody else would say that's too much. Now, over the course of the summer, I did it. I was walking around, you know, while I was walking around, I would videotape and I would break it down and I would take that content and I was able to make 40 or 50 pieces in a day, unique pieces for each platform and unique pieces. But I was like, there's no way to sustain this every day. But, you know, taking a lesson from that, how quick it is to create and how you can get stack up. Now put that in combination with the publishing tool. Now you may have something, right? If you take a day to shoot all your content, create all your content, shoot it. Just like I do when I do voiceovers, I record everything. Then I come back to edit. Then I set myself up for delivery to all my customers, right? All my buyers. And I'm saying, take the content the same way. Record all the content. Pick a day what you're going to do. Record it. Now, you might be drained from recording because you're going to record as much as you can. And then you take a day to edit. And then the publishing tool, you can start putting it out. You can start sprinkling it to like you content that repeats itself once a month or twice or whatever. You got to figure out the scheduling. But if you got 30 pieces of content, you're dropping one piece every single day, right? And then you can reschedule that same content because just because it showed up once, right? You can reschedule it. And the more you got, if you got 30 pieces, you got 50 pieces, 100 pieces, however many pieces you got, you can just keep go ahead and recycling them. What's up, y'all? Peace. And you can keep rescheduling them. So use the publishing tool. I don't know how far the publishing tool goes out, but like I said, on DistroKid, the scheduler went out as far as 2 years. Now imagine if I can even get one piece of content for every day. That's 365 pieces for the next 2 years. That's 700 something pieces for the next, and schedule it all out. Now I done scheduled out 700 something pieces, and that's just one piece a day. Now I don't have to think about it. Not anything else I do is the bonus, right? But then I'm able to make more because this shit ain't going nowhere. So just thinking long term, right? But if the scheduler stopped at 2 years, now you can go back and double up and make two. If you want to go that far, you might not need to go out 2 years, right? You might want to compact everything in 6 months and to really get a rhythm and get more. Because it's like what I realized by dropping a ton of content at one time, I was able to get information faster of who my, you know, who's got interest. Who, you know what I'm saying? Like the age groups and the different, you just different interests, and it was able to get followers, you know, but I feel like now I'm getting stuck, at a certain number because I'm not dropping as much. So the thing is to try to ramp up and still get my day to day thing done, still be there for my family, still do what I do and not drive myself crazy. So I'm still trying to turn up the heat, but I'm trying to figure out a better way to do it. And I'm sure there's a whole bunch of tutorials and different ways people are saying they do. I'm just telling you what I'm figuring out for myself, right? So, and that's by going by, sometimes going by people's tutorials or things that I've learned or conversations and trying what somebody else has said and applying it to what I do. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. Maybe I got to put a tweet to it. So, yeah. I just want to put that out there. That scheduler on Facebook is ill. And I'm really seeing how Facebook or Meta is ingesting Instagram. So I think it's only going to be a matter of time before it all comes back to Facebook. They got all the tools and, you know, they got all the tools and they're putting it in Instagram, but I feel like the way on the back end, seeing how it works and how much more tools, I was like, maybe IG might be the consumer side, but on the Facebook side, it's definitely like where the nuts and bolts of everything is at. So, you know, yeah, I'm gonna see how it goes, man. So if you see a lot more content going out and my content getting better and better, that means it's working because that means I managed to schedule, make enough content that I could schedule it far enough out that I can continue to practice and tweak what I'm doing. And that's really the thing, right? Because if you get stuck in this loop where it's like the same day that you're creating it, you're making captions, like, yo, that shit takes so much time to do. That shit takes so much time to do, then it doesn't leave room for everything else. And that's what I mean. Sometimes I'm like, I'll be trying to think of stuff. And you know, you might, your attention might get distracted and different stuff like that. And next thing you know, you're taking hours just to make, you know, a post or whatever like that. Versus like, without thinking, set yourself up for success and record everything. And like I said, that's kind of what I do when I got a whole bunch of scripts to do. Like if I got like, say I got 10 scripts to do, I already have the recording, the template already up, ready to record. And I open up my scripts, I get prepared. I take the day before or whatever amount of time that I got, and I look through, I get a general sense of the different scripts that I'm dealing with and what's kind of similar, what kind of energies are going to be needed for each one. So I just like, break it down. I take that time to prepare. You know what I'm saying? So if I got 10 and I'm looking to get through 10 of them, but who knows, depending on the difficulty or the length of the script. So, but I do take the time to prepare, because then the next step that I do is I go in there and one by one, each script, I just bang them out. I don't start editing. I don't do anything. I hit record and I go. Record it. And you know what I'm saying? Record it as many times that it needs to be recorded where I feel good about it. Then I move to the next script. Then I do the same thing. And I move to the next script. Now, if I have to stop real quick to review, because it's not fresh in my mind what I need to be doing, I'll review. But I like to go to the, and then, you know, I like to go to the next thing. And then after I'm done with everything, I'll go back, check it, and see where I need to finish up. Take a little pause, come back, and then I'm bulk editing everything. So I'll go back and take my time to get two or three versions of each one of the scripts I just read. You see what I'm saying? And then I'm labeling them. And then I'm going to send them out. You know what I'm saying? Before, I used to do it one at a time. And there's a lot of back and forth. Just like today when I did the acapellas. I've been coming into the habit of don't do one acapella at a time. It takes a lot of time. So put them up in groups. Today I did, 13 acapellas? And in the process of doing that bulk thing, I found a quicker way to, bounce down the files, label the files, upload them. Because on the Vocaloid app, you can't bulk upload all your things. You got to do one at a time. So I'm opening tabs and I'm seeing what information. It's all about that, man. It's all about that. Try to do the same task. You like work on something all the way straight through for a certain amount of time where you're not stopping, So, and that's what I'm just, I'm harping on, because I was just bringing up that publishing tool. Like once you got your, all your pieces in place, set up the calendar and set it up, 6 months. Start with 6 months or something like that, and then repeat it. Like load up depending on how many joints you're gonna drop a day. I'm just you don't have to take my advice. I'm just taking my own advice. I'm just putting the information out there. But that publishing calendar, it's a beast, man. So, and I think YouTube has something similar too. You can schedule out the posts. But my focus has shifted to the Facebook platform because they invited me to make a little bread on the Facebook Reels. So automatically it's going to shift. Like I was putting in energy into Spotify and YouTube, and Spotify, I'm still trying to figure out how I'm going to work with it. YouTube, I'm just doing what I got to do. A lot of my demos and, a lot of people put their work there. So it's easy for me to find work that I've done and create playlists and portfolios. So I love YouTube for that. But I haven't managed to crack it as a creator. But look, I just cracked the Facebook thing, and I'm hoping I get to stick around for it and really develop it as a stream of income. I don't mind adding content creator to my repertoire. I didn't really think it was ever going to be possible, so I never really put focus into it. But now that they done let me in, let's make the most of it. So that's all. We're going to see how it go. And Vocaloid is going good. I found something there with the acapellas. So there's bread there. There's bread on the podcasting tip, getting bread through the website, bread through the PayPal, bread through Venmo. Of course, definitely bread through Fiverr. Where else did we see bread at? Oh, bread through Sony Distribution / BeatStars Publishing. So we're seeing it. We just got to keep developing it. And if we can make pieces of content, again, I equate all these artist pieces. My main thing is a song or the recording. So I equate that to a high quality recording. A professional recording is like making a car. But the only thing, a car, you can't sell it for parts until later on down the line when it's a used car. But think about on the virtual aspect, when we're making these songs, when we're making this thing, we can license or make money from the whole song, and then we can do all the parts. You know what I'm saying? All the instruments, the vocals, make bread from that, make bread from the streaming part, the licensing part, the performance part, the fact that you know how to do it. And that's the thing, right? That's the thing as an artist, building up all those things. And usually a manager would help you do that, I guess, because it's in the best interest of a manager. But I guess they would manage what you already have going on. So, but if you were starting with a manager from the ground up, a manager would help you to make money off your skills if you didn't know how to do it yourself. But you have to understand that would equate for them to get a bigger piece. If you don't know how to make money for yourself, you know what I'm saying? And somebody got to do it for you, then think about it. Right? So that's why I kind of manage myself. And I've done that for years. You know what I'm saying? Because somebody would have to come along that could do more for me than I could do for myself. And usually that, you know what I'm saying? And so a lot of times people want a piece for nothing. You know what I'm saying? And that's not good. You know, and then a lot of times on the artist side, you want somebody to do all the work and you don't want to give them nothing. It got to be an even exchange, man. It got to be a win-win for both situations. You know what I'm saying? So, but on the side of a self-managed artist, these are the things I have to look at. You know what I'm saying? I got to be paying my taxes on time, my bills on time, you know, different things like that. I got to make sure things are, you know, I got to see my attorney when an agreement comes my way that I can't quite break down. And then that's usually all the time, you know, to be honest. So, you know, I know a lot of artists will say, I don't want to deal with business. But I mean, it's in your best interest to be in the business of you. Because if not, you're just willing to get screwed is what you're basically saying. And I know it's not pretty. But it is what it is. And it's, you know, it's good when you know where your money's coming from. You know what I'm saying? And you know where to get it, you know? So even if I had a team of people, I would still be on top of that to see, you know, because what happens if somebody's trying to swindle you? What happens if somebody's overcharging you? You know what I'm saying? Like, the thing about doing it like how I've done it for over 20-something years is that I know the nuts and bolts. Now, if my shit never grow bigger, it is what it is. I mean, you know, I had a mom and pops type of independent artist situation. I was never really world renowned or the most popular guy, but I was, you know, I was somebody that the people who knew, and I was able to make a living, you know? Now, if it leans in the later part of my years, and if it leans into a point where I have developed a team and gained some international acclaim, well, at the very least, I know how to handle my business. And that's important. Will I absolutely know how to scale it? Nah, because I'll know, you know, if I knew how to scale it, I would have done it already. But if somehow I figure out how to scale it, believe me, it'll still be a learning process like everything else has been this whole 20-something years. You know what I'm saying? It's all been a learning process, from learning how to write better songs, to learning how to rap better, to sing better, to making better music, to mixing better, to marketing better, to promoting better, to giving a better performance, to looking better. You know what I'm saying? So many things to think about if you're going to be an independent artist. It depends on what kind of independent artist, because, you know, this is independent artist thing is a generic term for anybody that does art. So I should say an independent music artist or independent recording artist. Well, independent recording artist is, you know, that's what I thought I could call myself. But it's bigger than just the recording. But yeah, I think we got the recording part, you know. Independent media artist. I don't know what you'll call this at the time. I guess that's why they call it independent artist, keeping it simple. But I just feel like this is just an umbrella term. But independent entrepreneur. I don't know. I, to be honest, the label part don't even fucking matter. It really don't. You know, this is funny. When somebody start a business, they be worried, tied up about the logo and the name. Like, nah, Jack. Or do you have something of value that people are going to pay for? You could call it whatever. You could call it I don't know. Oompli blubla. It don't matter. Mug's like, yo, give me some of that oomply blue la if it's something. Or you can call it the world's finest shit. And if it ain't, they're just gonna take out this, the world's finest, if you know what I'm saying. So, yeah, man. I know I'm just going on and on again. Penny for your thoughts. I think that's the best way I can use the podcast thing as of right now. No pressure, share my thoughts. If it makes some bread, it makes some bread. But at the very least, I'm recording, I'm putting something in there. Somebody catches interest, that's cool. If not, that's cool too. I can always refer back to it. But just to see if, you know, upload. You know what I'm saying? While I figure things out. And I guess it's kind of good. To me, it's valuable content, even if it's not the most high quality, because the walking and the trucks and the wind and all that shit like that. But if somebody took the time to actually listen, they would hear somebody that is currently working through their situation as an independent artist. That's why I used to call the podcast for a little bit Surviving as an Independent Artist. I used to call it Surviving as an Independent Artist in NYC. But I mean, even though I do business, you know, with Fiverr, who is located in New York City, and even though I live right outside the city, I'm not really a artist in NYC. I don't, you know what I'm saying? I'm a Jersey artist. I live on the outside. I live, you know what I'm saying, right outside the city, but I'm in Jersey and I've done most of my stuff in Jersey. And I'm proud to say that. You know what I'm saying? I don't ever want to take that away from Jersey because they help cultivate my hustle. You know what I'm saying? But it is surviving. Surviving in the tri-state, it is surviving as an independent artist. And I think you can leave it at there. It doesn't matter your region, your location, where you're at. Because wherever you're at, you have to survive. Whether you're in the country, in the city. You know what I'm saying? If you decide to make a life off of your creative works, whether it's music, drawing, or otherwise, you're going to have to be the one to figure out all the different ways to make bread off your exploits. And the thing is, never rely on one of those ways. Like if you make dope-ass paintings, you know what I'm saying? Don't just rely on the paintings holding you back, because what happens if something happens? And I know it's like a what if, but it's like you could build other things, use those skills to build other things, do commissions for murals or something like that, digitize them. You know what I'm saying? Make you merch. If you're a visual artist, there's no reason not to make merch, right? There's really no reason. So it doesn't always have to be t-shirts. It could be pillowcases. It could be something that you enjoy. Because if you enjoy it, somebody else is going to enjoy it. So, yeah, man. Whatever kind of artist you are, find all the ways. We got a lot of different ways. You know how you go and get a job and they say, do this job and you get paid? Well, that's one way. You know what I'm saying? That's one way. You know what I'm saying? And think about it, as an artist, even if you said as an artist, you went to go and get a job, you know, to do what you do. Like somebody's going to pay you a salary to do what you do. That's one way. That doesn't mean you abandon the other ways. You're adding on to your overall everything. You know what I'm saying? That's the beauty of this thing. You get to try all these different ways and then you get to fit it into like a puzzle, into your lifestyle. You get to create it's like taking your art to a higher level, boy. Because you're bigger than the industry that you're in. You know what I'm saying? If you're living and breathing the art, you're bigger than the industry you're in. You know what I'm saying? But you're not bigger in the sense that you still need to be a part of it. You're never turning your nose up to anything. Because without industry, you have nothing. If there's no demand, you have nothing. You're just making art, which is still something, I guess, in the sense of self-fulfillment. But if we're talking about the economics of it all, you need industry. But you're never to succumb to industry, because you're bigger than industry, if that makes sense. All right.